Well, hello there, everybody, and Merry Christmas. Or maybe not such a Merry Christmas if you have to spend Christmas alone. You know, I've spent many Christmases alone in my life. In fact, I spent 10 years where I spent every Christmas alone. And, you know, I gotta tell you, I resorted to some pretty drastic measures to try and find someone, anyone to spend Christmas with, you know. I remember there was this one year where I was in my little shoebox apartment and I sent out a bulk message to like 30 different people, like pretty much everybody I knew. And I basically was like, hey, what are you doing for Christmas, you know? I was basically fishing to see if anyone wanted to spend Christmas with me. And of course, you know, most people were spending time with their family over Christmas, which is fair enough. But, you know, I knew that a few of the people I was in contact with, that I didn't even really know that well, but, you know, maybe we'd matched on like a dating site or something, and they'd mentioned that they're visiting the country or something. So I would maybe, you know, hope that they would be free. In fact, I remember there was this one girl, it was like December 18th, right? And she's like, oh yeah, you know, we could maybe hang out on Christmas, Jim. You know, my family live in Australia, so, you know, maybe we could hang out. And, you know, as Christmas drew closer, I texted her back like, oh, hey, are we still on? If so, you know, do you want to come over to mine or should I come over to yours? And then she replied back like, oh, yeah, me and my friends have decided to like all get together. So toodaloo, Jim, have a nice Christmas. I'm sure you'll find someone to hang out with though, Jim, don't worry. So yeah, it was basically the same story every single Christmas. I would always end up by myself. And this was the era of my life where I was living in a shoebox apartment, spending all of my free time at this internet cafe in downtown Auckland, which is now closed. And it was where all of the true dregs would go hang out, okay? These were people, like there was this one guy who lived in the closet of the internet cafe. Like off to the side, there was like a broom closet. Like it was about the size of like a park, not even a park bench. It was about as wide as like a stretcher bed. It was only just wide enough for a grown man to lie down in. And sometimes he would just fall asleep at his computer, you know, he would just like play video games for 12 hours and then just fall asleep for a few hours, you know, head back, mouth open, snoring in the internet cafe, as I would be in a different aisle, like, I don't know, watching space documentaries or something. and he would be there like passed out, and there'd be a few other like lost souls that were either just quietly gaming at 3 o'clock in the morning or passed out. And I remember one year in the middle of that period, it was Christmas Eve. It was like, you know, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and then it was, you know, 1 a.m. So it's officially Christmas and the internet cafe is just, you know, dead silent as a couple of diehard gamers are still awake playing games. And, you know, the guy from the broom closet, you know, retires to his closet at about 1:30. And finally, at about 3 o'clock, I decide to get up and go back to my shoebox apartment. So I get up, you know, I take my, you know, empty Doritos bag, throw it in the bin, which is overflowing onto the carpet, and, you know, I walk past the people that are asleep at their computers, and I walk out onto the street, and there's those leaf blower guys with those annoying honking machines. Which, by the way, those things should honestly be banned, man. They're so annoying. They're so annoying. And they're so pointless, too. Like, you'll see some guy dressed up in, like, like a hazmat suit, you know, blowing air against the pavement, achieving absolutely nothing, probably being paid, like, 25, 30 bucks an hour from the council to do it. Anyway, so I walk past those guys up Queen Street, up through Aotea Square. Now, the shoebox apartment that I was living in, It was pretty ghastly, actually. It was this old blue and yellow, it looked like something from the Soviet Union. It looked like one of those old commie block buildings. It was a hostel, and I was living on the top floor, and it used to have these oak trees, or I forget what type of tree they were. I think they were oak trees. In wintertime, it was just like gray and cold and depressing and just ugly. And in summertime, it was actually worse in summer because these trees would just overpower the entire street. These like 60-foot oak trees, they would cast everything into shadows. It was just nasty. It was a nasty street in summer and winter. Now they've torn this building down now. It's not there anymore. Good riddance to bad rubbish, but yeah, it was probably the least Christmassy place you could be. And I remember this one year I came home at like 3 o'clock in the morning from the internet cafe, said hello to the guy at reception who would just grunt at me. So yeah, that was Christmas Eve. That was my Christmas Eve this one year. And I wanted to spend Christmas at the internet cafe, right? Like that's perfect. I've got nowhere else to be, so I'll go spend it with all the other social outcast at the internet cafe. But the internet cafe was closed. It was the one day of the year this place closed. Anyway, so after going down to the internet cafe at, 11 in the morning, only to discover that the place is closed, I was like, fine, I'll just go for a nice big walk, okay? I don't want to go back to the shoebox and be alone with my own thoughts, so I'll just go for a walk through the suburbs. That was my idea. But of course, now I have to walk past all of the families in their front yards having a wonderful Christmas with the kids and grandma's there and the whole extended family out in the out having a barbecue because Christmas happens in summertime in New Zealand. I remember being kind of a grey, overcast day, but every house I walk past, they're all celebrating Christmas, and I'm going for like a doom a day walk. And I don't remember what I did that night. Probably went back to the shoebox and sat in the TV room till 1 o'clock in the morning. But anyway, the reason why I told you that little story is because I wanted to make it clear that I have experienced Christmases alone. Now, most of you listening to me right now will probably not have to spend this upcoming Christmas alone, okay? Most of you listening probably have somewhere to be this Christmas, but there will come a time for almost everyone listening where you have to spend Christmas or some other holiday all by yourself when everyone else is with their families and whatever, right? And in my experience, it's worse to be alone when everybody else appears to be having fun, right? And, for a lot of people, it's not so much about being alone on Christmas per se. It's that Christmas is a reminder of their overall failure to start a family or to make amends with their existing family, right? Like, Christmas is, it's not so much about, oh, I'm alone on Christmas. No, it's more that Christmas is a reminder of their failure, if that makes sense, right? Like, they're happy to be alone on Christmas. They know that it's just a commercial thing. It's got no real relation to religion or anything. It's just a holiday. But the fact that everyone spends it with their family and that they don't have any family to spend it with, or, they're estranged from their family or whatever, it's like a reminder to them. Now, there is a phenomenon that you might have heard about. It's called a quarter-life crisis, okay? Some of you have probably had this or, been through it or whatever, and it happens to both men and women. You know the whole meme about the wall for women, right? Like, they make it to about the age of 27, 28, and they realize that their biological clock is ticking, and then they have a meltdown that they haven't started a family yet or whatever. Well, men also go through that, right? But it's more abstract and it can occur for more reasons than just, biology, right? They'll make it to the age of, I don't know, 30 or 35, and it might not be about women, it might be about their lives. Like, I'm never going to be free from wage slavery. So, you know, I can be a beta provider or I can just be single forever. But, you know, I'm never going to be able to be self-sufficient. And, you know, they just become more and more doomer about the fate of their future. You know, there's so much emphasis on youth, you know, your whole life ahead of you. It's, I forget the name of that comedian who talked about it, but, you know, when you're young and you go to the doctor, they always try to fix you, right? Like, it's all about, you know, making your future better. But then you make it to the age of about 40 and you go to the doctor and they don't try to fix you anymore. It's like, you know, everything's just slowly deteriorating in your body and it's just about alleviating the pain for the rest of your life, right? And, you know, I remember this happened to me around the time I turned 30. I was like, you know, I'm no longer young. I'm no longer a young guy anymore. I know this is like a common, you know, epiphany to have, but it's like, wow, like I'm no longer seen as like a young guy with his whole life ahead of him. You know, a quarter of my life is now gone. And, you know, at the time I had nothing to show for it. I had a semi-successful little business in the early 2010s, but due to changes, like all of the Airbnbs popping up, I won't go into the specifics of how it worked, but it was pretty profitable the first 3 or 4 years. But by 2015, it was starting to go downhill. And by 2017, it was, you know, all of my income from this business had evaporated. But anyway, the point to mention this is not to, like, complain. The point is, like, that was, what, 6 years ago now? Not that long ago. It was the end of 2017 when I came to Australia. And since then, like, everything's come together. Like, literally everything's just come together perfectly. And when you're going through, you know, a stage like what I was going through, you know, my doomer phase in Auckland, you sometimes feel like, you know, you're never going to get out of this, right? You sometimes feel like, you know, things are never going to get better. But then they gradually do. Okay, not for everybody, but for most people, you know, you look back at the problems in your life that you have now in 10 years and they seem pretty trivial. You know, they're not affecting you. There's almost a kind of sense of nostalgia. You know, maybe not so much for that period. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for like the mid-2010s, but there is kind of that feeling of like, you know, well, I got through it, you know, like in the end, everything worked out perfectly for me, you know, like I'm looking forward to the next decade now. Like, you know, I can't wait for my next overseas adventure, right? When I'm going to spend a much, much longer period of time overseas and visit more countries. And, you know, I'm so looking forward to the future that it's, you know, I look back on those hard times. It's like, man, like I never would have thought I would have gotten out of it back then. You know, it just seemed like that's my life. So if you're in a situation where it's like, man, you know, I have to spend Christmas alone, you know, there's no chance, if you feel like there's no chance that things are going to get significantly better for you, you know, in some ways life is short, but in some ways life is very, very long, okay? And it's amazing how much your life can change by the decade. The only thing it doesn't do, the only thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't change back, all right? This is another thing that I think, it doesn't so much happen to older people, all right? But for a lot of people around the age of like, you know, usually between 20 and 30, this will happen to them. They come to the sort of realization that many of the warm fuzzies from childhood are never coming back, right? Being, you know, on Christmas time, like for example with me, right? Every Christmas we would go to the local Presbyterian church and they would have like the choir singing and we would sit up on the, you know, the top row, like the balcony at the back of the church, at the back of the, what is it, the chapel, and, you know, watch the guys sing. And, you know, it was quite magical, right? But I remember, like, you know, during my teenage years, we would have Christmas, but it wasn't as good, right? You know, obviously your teenage Christmases aren't as good as your childhood Christmases. But, you know, we still kept it up enough when I was a teenager that when I was a teenager, I didn't have too much nostalgia about childhood. But I remember in my early 20s when I spent the first, like, genuinely depressing Christmas by myself. And I actually put, like, pressure on myself to get into the Christmas spirit. Like, if I'm not in the Christmas spirit, there's something wrong with me. However, what I didn't realize quite early enough is that as an adult, you have to find new experiences, okay? You have to start a tradition of your own at 22 that you'll be nostalgic about at 42. I mean, literally earlier this year, I'm already nostalgic about Vietnam and Thailand and Indonesia. You know, I can't wait to go on my next trip, all right? I have more nostalgia for traveling across Vietnam now than I do for anything that happened during Christmas when I was a kid. All right, you've got to create your own nostalgia as an adult. Yeah, and you have to work on it. Like, if you're a kid and you grew up in the West, okay, your parents had to work hard to create your childhood memories of nostalgia, okay? They had to buy presents. They had to, you know, have a place for you to live. They had to put a roof over your head. They had to feed you for so many years. Your parents had to put in a ton of work and a ton of money for you to have a warm, happy, Merry Christmas, right? And another mistake, I mean, it's not necessarily a mistake, but I think it often is a mistake, is, you know, people will have a great childhood in their hometown, and they'll, you know, they'll have a good time during high school, and then they'll move away, they'll move to the big city, and they're miserable. So they think, I'm going to move back to my hometown because that's where my life made sense, you know. The one time in my life I was happy was in my hometown or home suburb or whatever. So they move back thinking that they can get back into that same groove. But you see, what happens when you move back is that everything's changed. People have moved on, people have changed. You know, there's no welcome back party when you move back to your hometown. The house that you lived in as a kid has now been bulldozed and replaced with an apartment block. It's just things change. You're never, ever, ever going to recreate that feeling, that groove, that vibe you had when you were a kid. It's not going to be there. You know, I could catch a flight back to New Zealand and go back to Queenstown and hire a rental car and drive to the shores of Lake Wakatipu and find the spot where me and my dad used to go fishing in 1994, right? Like, I could hop on a plane and go to Queenstown, but, you know, the trip over there would be long, and I'd get off the plane, and the airport would be all different to how it was, you know, the last time I was there, like 20 years ago. So I eventually drive out to the dirt road that led to the spot by the lake, but there's a chain fence up now saying that the road is closed, so I have to walk along it. And it's like, you know, those days are gone. You're never going to create any nostalgia. Like, it's just, you've got to create your own nostalgia as an adult. Now, this is going to be a pretty cringe thing that I'm about to say. It's the kind of thing that, like, a 23-year-old female backpacker who wears bohemian pants and, you know, hasn't shaved her armpits in 2 years would say, but I would say at my core, I'm a little bit of a traveler. I'm a little bit of a nomad by nature. And again, I know that's super cringy. It's like, it's something that some hippy dippy girl would say, you know, like, I'm on my journey, you know, like every year I travel to a new city and I meet like some really like cool people. And I meet like a different guy in every city and it's great. You know, we go on our journey together. All right, I know it sounds like that. I know it's like a cringy thing to say, but seriously, there are people from my high school that have not only have they never left Queenstown, you know, every now and then, because I'm baffled by this phenomenon, every now and then, like once every couple of years, I'll go on my Facebook account that I never use, and I'll check out someone, you know, like friends of mine from high school, right? Like, I did this like 6 months ago. I go to their Facebook profiles, and not only have they never left Queenstown, they're still friends with each other. Like, there's this one girl, she was like, you know, Jill Normie at my high school. She met her boyfriend, who was kind of a childhood, like, sort of friend of mine at school, right? They formed a relationship. They got married straight after high school when they were like 19. they immediately started having kids that are basically adults now, and they're still, you know, they're still on Facebook. They still live in Queenstown. All of their Facebook friends are the people they went to high school with. And, you know, in many ways for them, right? In many ways for them, they can relive their childhood nostalgia. People like that actually can relive their childhood every year, you know, because they never left their hometown and they can live, they can have their childhoods via their children. But, you know, for people like me who, and I know it sounds cringe, like, guys, I'm on my journey. But for people like me who do honestly consider themselves to be a little bit nomadic, I guess you would say, you know, the explorer type personality, you know, the people who, you know, the idea of living in my hometown is just, I literally have recurring dreams about being back in high school. Like I'm in class, I'm at my high school, but I don't know what class I'm meant to be in. And I'm like, walking from class to class after the bell has rung, walking into random classes and feeling like, you know, I'm not supposed to be here, man. I'm supposed to be at my job, you know. I'm supposed to be, like, doing something different, man. Being back in my hometown is literally a nightmare for me. Like, it's a literal nightmare that I've had before. For me, my goal is to just travel, you know. It just means that, as a result, I have to spend some Christmases alone from time to time. You know, it's the price one must pay for being free. It's like the song, I still call Australia home, you know. I love to travel, I love being free, and so I keep leaving the sun and the sea, blah, 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 but I still call Australia home. You know, it's nice to come back for Christmas occasionally, but, you know, if you're a wanderer-type personality, you know, if you're not the type of person to just stay in your hometown your whole life, then, you know, you're going to have some lonely Christmases, some lonely holidays, and it's nothing to worry about. My only advice would be, don't go for like a big walk on Christmas, because it might actually make you feel lonely, you know. Stay at home and actually get something done. Don't just stay at home and watch movies, you know. Stay at home and do some chore that you'd been putting off, you know. Try and do something productive on your Christmas day if you have to spend it alone.